Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Pastor Couple. And I feel like I've been here. And also want to thank you, each one of you that supported us during a few years back earthquake. And also some of you that continue to support us. I am Sudeep. I feel that place is quite high for me. And my wife, Annalisa, and I have three kids, Rebecca, Samuel, and Sarah. Rebecca and Samuel used to go Super Sundag, and they loved it. And I used to come here, and I really enjoyed, honored to be here. Babu and Trukve, it was honor for us to be here. We are proud of you guys, each one of you, and we feel honored to be connected. And so, last year and a half, I have made my base in America, and then I traveled. I still work for India and Nepal very much. Let me give a little bit update what is happening in Nepal before I move on. That's a flag of Nepal. In 2017, October 10, Nepal government put an anti-conversion law that would make any people to go to police custody or prison for 3 years. It was already hard. And now, at the moment, there are around 15 to 20 Christians from different background actually on police custody. So Nepal has tightened more. In 2005, we have 80% Hinduism, and 2005 we got secularism, but they are trying to work hard to bring the Hinduism back. So literally they want to have a Hindu constitution back, they want to have a Hindu kingdom back, and that's the picture of Living God Says. See, when a girl, they bring in the palace and they worship her until she starts her period, and after she has her menstrual period, she's considered unclean. But most, our city with 4 million people worship her. Some of you know, and I just want to repeat again, cow is considered holy animal in Nepal, India, and some of the other countries. Nepal, you do go to prison for 23 years if you end up killing the cow. Another major factor of Nepal, it's a religious attraction. Buddha was born in Nepal and has this Hindu Federation worldwide office and Hindu Buddhist offices, Buddhist universities. And so it is quite Hindu and Buddhist nation. What we do is we run little elderly home. We have 7 people at the moment in the elderly home. We also run Bible school. We have everyday classes happening, and we have 11 students each day attending the class right now. This is in November last year, so I still hold meetings. I speak, or the churches I work with, we do seminars. The other major part of the work is the church planting, and currently we are trying to not only rich Nepal, but we have 124 languages, and we are trying to find a way to reach all these people groups and languages. And we border with the Tibet, and we are trying to even reach Tibet. Bhutan is very close to us, and so. That was me in February. I was at the Children Home Church. You remember that? Uh-huh. That's the downtown church that I think you both been there. Yeah. The other major ministry that we have is two children homes at the moment. We have 100 poor children, you know, both children. Right now, because of the law, we cannot do any Bible studies anymore in the children home. So we are still having it, we are doing it, but they have kept changing the law, which makes illegal running Bible college, having Bible study, and any teaching and preaching outside the in a public or the somebody else makes illegal. So since you visited a few years back, I think 4 or 5 years back, today Nepal has changed drastically. So your prayers are appreciated. Yeah. The reason I said is I just want you to know what I am doing, and what I'm involved in. I'm involved in a lot of churches in Nepal, and I travel frequently. If I can go to my next one, I'll be. This morning, I really want to focus a little bit on the kingdom that we live in. Where I live is, I don't live always in Nepal, but every week I talk to the people in Nepal, and sometimes it can be stressful. One day I can feel that the orphanage, we cannot run anymore because the government says you cannot have Bible study, you cannot do Christian fellowship. And so there is so much stress. A few years back, earthquake came, I think 2015, and 8,000, almost 900 people were killed, and 1,200 were killed in our city. And we lost the buildings that we built. We lost some families, pastor families. So it was really hard for me to go through for a whole year. And at that time, I was pastoring in a church in Shula Christian Fellowship. And I could not handle it anymore. And so I stepped down because what I was going through, the earthquake, was too much. And something I'm going to share to you today has to do with my life. And also, I see today there are Christians struggling with doubt, with suicidal mentality, with depression. And I think, which is such opposite of what we talk, we say Jesus has life. Jesus gives hope. But what we are facing around the world that I travel is something different. There are Christians who have given their hope when they are fighting with the cancer, they are fighting with the sicknesses and disease, and they are no longer standing in the hope and the foundation of faith they are called in. And what I sensed was you can walk in the spiritual realm sometime and say, yes, Lord. And the next day, you can be in a, like Peter's shoes, where Peter started doubting and saying, are you God? Ask me to come into the water. But the next time, when he walked in the water, he started sinking. Because Bible says he started doubting. And here is a guy, the Peter, God says, I will build my church upon this rock. But how weak this guy is, the God promised, same God, he says, get behind me of Satan. Do you remember that? And this is the guy God said, I will build my church. You are going to be the leader And he's the guy, he says, I don't even know who Jesus is when Jesus was led to the cross. This is the same guy God is saying, he says, who do you think I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. Yeah. And guess what, Peter? He's running away from God. He almost backslided. He went for fishing. All right? If you read the Bible, you see the contrast between Peter, man of faith, one side, says, you are the Messiah. The other side, he says, he's gone. And I see this fight between our life every day. And here is a guy that I'm going to talk a little bit that I think is a fascinating. I love his story. I love him. And even his birth is fascinating. Let's read a little bit. Luke chapter 1, verse 57, 61. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy. They shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there is no one among you relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free. And he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is the child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. I'm going to just skip that passage. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come? Again, let me read it that. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else, Jesus? Just stay there. He is, John is asked his disciples to go and check if he is the one, or should we expect somebody else? Let me go back a little bit about John the Baptist. This man was born from the belly of Elizabeth. She is the cousin of Mary. And Zechariah was the priest. And he was chosen for that year, and he went to the Holy of Holies. He was the guy that was so close to God. But Elizabeth did not have a child. And when she became old, she was pregnant. Zechariah, they both been praying for the child, and being barren in the culture at that time was not a good thing, because she did not have a child, which was not a good symbol. But the Bible says they prayed. And let me tell you, even if you don't see the answer right away, it doesn't mean God doesn't hear. He hears you. And sometimes we go through the seasons of life. That season we might not see things as we want to. But when time came and Zechariah was inside the temple, angel Gabriel came and said, Zechariah, you are going to have a baby. Guess what? A man of God, the priest, he could not even believe. He had his doubt. Come in. And I do not know your life, but what I have gone through is there are times you can be walking the heavenly realms. But when you leave your ears open a little bit, the doubt, the world enters in your mind. And you start thinking, where is this thought coming from? So for next 10 months, Zechariah could not speak. And God said what this child was going to be. If you read the whole book of Luke, especially first chapter, Bible said John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in the mother's belly. Bible says that. John the Baptist would have a spirit of Elijah. He was going to be foretelling prophet. And about John the Baptist, it was prophesied in book of Isaiah. Even Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 says, I will send my messenger ahead of you. And when Elizabeth visited Mary, Bible says that John the Baptist, it was belly, leaped with joy. Can you believe that he was being promised? He was chosen. And I don't think you are any different than John the Baptist. Because Bible says that you are made in his own image and likeness. That's a God likeness and image in us. That literally means his DNA he has put in us. Of course, the sin nature took over us, but because of the Christ sacrifice and shedding of the blood at the cross, I believe that we've been redeemed. So when we believe, Bible says that you become new creation. So when we, literally, you are here because you are not accident. You are born from your mother's womb because Bible says he knew you. Psalm 139. He knew where we were. He knew. And let me tell you about a little bit of my own testimony. I was born, I'm the seventh child in the family. My dad was an Orthodox Hindu, very committed. And in a third day, they saw one of the teeth a little bit came out. I was the first male child. And what they did is they took me to the priest, Hindu priest. You know what the Hindu priest told them? He said, this child is going to be okay, but he is not going to worship your Hindu God. Even the Hindu priest knew that. Many times when I've been in my low season, I have said, God, you have already called me, yes. All right? And I'm going to tell you that you are called and chosen. Let enemy not tell you you are nobody. Let enemy not bring you through the thoughts that want to kill you and destroy. Because any thoughts that has to do with the killing, destroying, is not from God. God is always about building. God is always about giving life. God is not about destroying anybody's health. I don't know why it happens, but I need to let you know that you are called and chosen. I had a pastor, and my pastor was the first Christian in Nepal. And guess what? He went through so rough time. He went through prison after prison because Christianity was totally illegal. Why something bad things happen to good people? Why do Christians need to suffer? Sometimes we preach a gospel that's not even real. Bible says, if you are my disciple, take my cross. Yes. Not everything is going to be honeymoon all the time. The people that are married can tell you that. Of course, some of you have a honeymoon all the time. Congratulations. There are stories in the Bible. God promised, like Abraham and Sarah. You know, God said, your children are going to be like descendants on uncover the sand. But do you know how many children really Abraham had? He had to stand in that belief and hope and the promise God gave him. He had to, because he had Isaac. And first he made by his own decision, Ismail, which brought a lot of trouble. But Bible does say today, if anybody believes, he's the child of Abraham. Yes. Abraham did not see that promise come true, but he did hold as a father of faith. John the Baptist was ordained. He was anointed. You know, he was able to shout to the religious leader, political leaders, you vipers, you repent. And he was able to baptize. John the Baptist was such an ordained man that you remember when Jesus came and wanted to be baptized. John said, you should be baptizing me. Jesus said, no, let it be that way. And Jesus asked John the Baptist to baptize him, a man that baptized even Jesus. And when he was baptizing Jesus, do you know what he heard and saw? He saw a dove coming down, and he heard the voice. Bible says he heard the voice saying, this is my beloved, whom I'm glad. John the Baptist was witness of it. Think about any minister, any leaders in the world. There was no greater man than John the Baptist. Bible even says that. Jesus even said, there's no greater man born on earth bigger than or the stronger than John the Baptist. Even Jesus said about him, he was so ordained and anointed. Do you doubt your ordination? Do you doubt your anointing? Where is that doubt coming from? Where is that doubt coming from? Remember this. When John the Baptist, first disciple of Jesus, was Simon Peter, Simon, and all these four disciples, Andrew, all these. Actually, they were disciples of John the Baptist. When Jesus was walking, John the Baptist said, look at the Lamb of God. Coming Messiah. That's what John the Baptist said. And when he came, literally, even the Simon Peter, Andrew, moved and turned to Jesus' disciples. And this is what we need to confirm ourselves again and again, reaffirm and say to our mind, our heart, and say, I'm ordained. You are ordained. In the New Testament, you are priest. In the New Testament, you are royal priesthood. Does the Bible say that? This is not Sudeep's opinion. I'm not giving you my opinion. No, it is not. You are chosen. Bible says you are royal priesthood. Because he is the one that anointed you and ordained you. Who are you listening? To your doubt or enemy's thoughts, or are you listening to God? One of the things surprises me is about John the Baptist. Such interesting thing. He says to the king, it is unlawful for you to have your sister's wife. Sometimes if you speak the truth, you are in trouble. And I do like the fact Norway, I have found people that speak the more truth than anywhere I have ever been. Which is a good thing. In the beginning it hurts, but later it is good. When John the Baptist confronted the king of Judea, What really happened was it put him in a prison. And after being in a prison, such a great, powerful minister, what happened was he had to send his disciple and say, Jesus, are you the one coming? Now, let me ask you something. This is the same man who has been ordained. This is the same man who saw a work in the spirit of Elijah. This is the same man who saw things so powerful that none of us possibly even experience. But this is the man asking, are you the Messiah? A born. He knows about his background. He's been prophesied. He knows who he is. And he even says he is only the foreteller. He only says, I'm not the Messiah. He knows that. But he is asking his disciples to confirm and say, are you the Messiah? Or should we look for somebody else? Let me tell you why that happened. Because John the Baptist thought the Messiah would come and redeem whole Israel. Because he had also a little bit of thought, John the Messiah, Jesus would not suffer. He will not go to crucifixion. This is why he thought maybe the Israel will be redeemed. But the good thing was, Jesus said, let the disciple, look what is happening. Sick people are getting healed. Some of those who are in captives are getting free. Go and tell the John what you see. And this is what the masses we need to declare to our mind and to ourselves. Jesus is still alive. He's doing things when we trust on him, when we believe in him. He's still doing same miracles, signs, wonders. And the biggest thing is we turn to be religious followers instead of believers and disciples. Disciples go with their leader. Religion people look far from, like Pharisees. And sometimes I have to check myself and say, have I become a doubter like a Pharisee or Sadducee, or am I become a disciple? Who are you today? And I just want to encourage you, everybody is going to have, this is common if you are human, you are going to fight doubt. It's going to be discouragement in some season. But you need to fight, because the cross, when he laid everything, when he died, he defeated devil. He defeated sicknesses. He defeated hell. And this is the hope of the resurrection that we have. This is what makes me to travel around the globe and keep preaching the gospel, because he is still alive. Amen. He's unchanging Jesus. Amen. In January first week, I was in San Francisco speaking to the pastors. Second week, I was in Indiana. Third, Kansas. I mean, why? Because we have this power of resurrection that we need to declare. Amen. Here is what I have come to. Whether you see healing or not in your body, you need to speak with the power in the name of Jesus and say, I'm healed. Amen. Whether you feel it or not, it's not about feeling. It's a power of the word, power of the name of Jesus we need to declare. Amen. Here is the thing. Many people, you know what? Many people easily give up. And I'm going to tell you what happened to John the Baptist was, Philip's wife, a king's newly wife, his daughter was dancing. And then she made the king happy. And the king said, what do you want? And she went and asked mom, what do you want? Mom said, I want the head of the John the Baptist. Sometimes we don't think the good thing can, bad thing happens, such a great people. Everybody is human, first of all. Second is John the Baptist, head was chopped. And we only see, a lot of time, have you watched the movies? And some of the movies don't portray all the truth. You know, if you only see the happy ending. But there are, in the Bible, I don't see always happy ending. Joseph had a good ending. He had a good beginning and a good ending. In the middle, he was persecuted. But Jeremiah was a very great prophet of God. And what happened to Jeremiah was king persecuted him. A lot of men of faith in the Bible went through a time of darkness and struggle. But if you read the Hebrew chapter 11, they did not give up their faith. They did not give up their faith. I don't know where you are and which stage of your life you are in. And this is the encouragement I feel the Lord wants me to tell you. Don't give up on the promises that He has promised you. There are dreams that you, God has put in you. They need to come true. There are things that God has put in your heart. They need to come through. Do not quit easily. Because this is the same guy that invented the light. He said, this is what this guy said. I just want to read that quotation. Many of life's failure are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. Thomas Edison. A lot of time God is about to do something and we are so close and then we just give up. I don't know if you have sensed that. A lot of time the spiritual breakthrough started happening and we work on, but we give up. No. I'm not giving up on Nepal. Or anywhere to preach the gospel. Because I think if God could use the fish in the Bible to Jonah to swallow, Bible says God spoke to fish. He used the fish. God used the donkey because the prophet was so arrogant. He could not hear God. So donkey instead of heard God. If God could use donkey, He could use fish. I think He will use me and you. There is more higher hope for you and me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. I pray right now, Lord. Send your presence in this place. Anyone who is fighting with the doubt and discouragement, I pray they will rise up. You told about John the Baptist that he was the greatest man on earth born of woman. And I think when he saw what happened, and what you were doing, he was encouraged. Lord, I pray that nobody in this house today go back and with a discouragement. But I pray that you are still alive. You have a plan for them. You have a hope for them. And I pray as they go out of this door, they will be able to hold on to the faith, the cornerstone, that it's you, Jesus. Guide each one of us and help each one of us. And anoint each one of us this morning. Activate their calling and giftings. In Jesus' name, amen.